week's Parsha, Parshas Yisroi, we know the Torah tells us that Yisroi came to the Midbar, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Klal Yisroel, and when he saw how Moshe Rabbeinu was judging Klal Yisroel all by himself, he said to him, Madia ato oises hadova hazeh, what are you doing? Novoil tiboil, you're going to collapse. Gam ato gam ha'om hazeh asher imcho ki koved mimcho hadova. It's too difficult for you. You can't manage by yourself. Lo sichal asoihi levadecho. You can't manage all by yourself. And because Yisroi gave his advice, so therefore Moshe Rabbeinu instituted, like we know, a system of judges, Surei Alofim, Surei Meois, Surei Chamishim, Surei Asurois, judges over 1,000 people, over 100 people, 50 people, 10 people. We need to understand, the Rechaim HaKodesh asked this question, did Moshe Rabbeinu need to come on to the advice of Yisroi? Was Moshe Rabbeinu not able to realize this by himself? It took an outsider, Yisroi, who wasn't even a Yid at the time, came along and he criticized Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, what are you doing? Novoil tiboil, you're going to collapse. Everybody's going to collapse. How on earth do you think that you can manage by yourself? And Moshe Rabbeinu turns around to him and says, oh, thank you, Yisroi, shkoyach for your advice. You know what? We're going to make a whole new system because of your great insight. This is a kasha which the Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks. And he gives an answer. But I want to share with you a different answer which was given by one of the great tzaddikim, Reb Dovidel Tolner. Tolner Rebbe lived 150 years ago. And Be'emes, what he writes is a Beferish Gemara. The Gemara tells us in a number of places, I'm sure you've all heard of it, La'olam al yiftach udam piv lesutin. Al tiftach pe lesutin. Don't say something which you never know what could be the outcome of your words. You say something and you mean it only as a joke. You make a joke, but you never know what can be the outcome of your words. Al yiftach udam piv lesutin. Because the koyach hadibah has a moiridika koyach. And if you say something, you never know, because you said it, what this could cause. And I myself saw a number of years ago, about 20 years ago, a story which took place here in this town. A girl, an older girl, who was having a difficult time with shidduchim, had come to Manchester. She was hoping to find a shidduch. Anyhow, things weren't going so easy. And in the middle of the week, she made a comment. And she said, if I am not engaged by Shabbos, I'm going to jump out the window. That's the word that she said. She didn't mean it literally, of course. What she meant to say was, Nebuch, she was having a difficult time. Halavai, this shidduch should go okay. She said, if I'm not engaged by Shabbos, I'm going to jump out the window. It came Shabbos, and she wasn't yet engaged. And what happened was, Leil Shabbos, after Adlukas Neir, she went to lie down upstairs in the bedroom where she was staying, and a fire broke out in the house where she was staying. And she was trapped upstairs. And she literally jumped out the window to save her life. And this is what happened. And this comment she had made that week, just a few days earlier. This is what Chazal referred to, Al tiftach peh lesutin. Don't come along and invite trouble. Somebody else told me also, he had a story, he received a phone call from an insurance company to insure his car. And they asked him, the way it works is, the more the car is worth, the higher you have to pay for the insurance. So the person on the phone from the insurance company asked him, how much do you think your car is worth? And this person made a joke and he said, this car is not worth anything anymore. It's really just a bit of scrap metal. It just about goes. It's not worth a penny. The most expensive part in the car is the petrol, which I just filled up this morning in the petrol tank. That's what he said. Went by only an hour or two, and this fellow is driving along, and suddenly the car, out the blue, he'd never had any trouble with it till then, the car, out the blue, suddenly stalled, and he couldn't get it to go. He called along the AA. The AA came and had a look at his car and said, "I'm sorry to tell you, the gearbox in this car has gone, and it's not worth repairing it. This car can be given away for scrap." So he called in a scrap firm, and he told them, I just this morning filled up a full tank of petrol. So no problem, we make a hole in the petrol tank, and we'll get out the petrol for you, and we'll pay you for the petrol. And this young man told me, I saw myself how it became fulfilled. Mamish, my words. I just a few hours earlier said to the person on the phone, the insurance company, this car is worthless. The most expensive part, the most precious part is the petrol in the tank. The taka kachava, out the blue, a few hours later, the car suddenly stopped working and was rapidly scrapped. So Zuchter Abdu'l-Vidal Tolna as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu knew fully well it was impossible for one person by himself to judge all of Klal Yisrael. It's an impossibility. On the other hand, we know fully well that the Yidden's existence in the Midbar was not al pi derech hateva. They had the mon, they had the be'er, they had the nane hakovered. Their existence was totally lemala miderech hateva. So therefore, for Moshe Rabbeinu single-handedly to come along and judge all Klal Yisrael was tak an impossibility. But this wasn't going according to the rules of Teva. When Yisroel came along and he saw what was going on and he said, Novoil Tiboil, you're going to collapse. Everybody's going to collapse. The second that Yisroel said that, now because he had said it, he now made it impossible for Moshe Rabbeinu to continue. As long as one doesn't say anything, one doesn't question, then one is zoicha. But when a person comes along and starts asking too many questions, and he says, you're going to collapse, suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu felt he can't carry on. It's too difficult. It wasn't too difficult for him as long as Yisroel didn't say anything. The second Yisroel said something, it became too difficult. There's a story which was told over as it was one year by the Rishna. There was many, many serefas in the olden times. They used to be in the houses were made out of wood. And if there took place a fire in one house, it spread very quickly and the whole shtetl could be burnt down. And it was in the heat of summer, it was a hot summer, and there were many, many fires all across the Ukraine. Only in Rizhna, where the Rizhna lived, there were no fires. And one day the Rizhna was walking with a group of Hasidim, and one of the Hasidim said to the Rizhna, you know, it's an amazing thing. There's been fires in all the shtetlach around us. Every single shtetl has had a major fire. Only here in Rizhna, nothing has happened. When the Rizhna heard his words, he turned to this Yid and he said, you know, there was the same story once by the Mezritch Magid, that there were Sreifas all over. Only in Mezritch there were no Sreifas. And a Yid came along and he mentioned this. How amazing, only in Mezritch there hasn't been a fire. Hardly had this Yid said it, a day or two later, there was a major fire in Mezritch and half the town was burnt to the ground. Didn't pass more than a day or two, and a major fire broke out in Rizhna, and again half the town was burnt to the ground. What's the pshat? The pshat is because this, that there was no sreifa, was lemala b'derech hateva. And as long as nobody said anything, therefore the nest continued. But when a person starts to question, al tiftach peh l'sotun, then suddenly, unfortunately, what happened was the fire broke out. What we learn out from this is how great is the koyach of our dibber. We know Chazal tell us, we say every single day in Berachas HaTorah, Eile Dvorim She'ein Lehem Shir HaPeah V'Abikim V'Rayim Gemis Chasudim V'Salme Torah Keneged kelam. Talmud Torah, mitzvah of learning Torah, is the greatest mitzvah. The Ezra Yerushalmi, a Gemara Yerushalmi, which tells us that on the opposite side of the scale, just like Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah, Loshon Hara is the greatest aveira. Asks the Chofetz Chaim, the first parak in Shmiras HaLoshon, why is it that Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah and Loshon Hara is the greatest aveira? What's the reason? So Talmud Torah, you think to yourself always, it must be because Talmud Torah, without Torah nothing starts. So everything is Torah. And Loshon Hara is such a terrible aveira. You're coming along, you're speaking bad against somebody else. That's such a terrible thing. So that's why Loshon Hara must be the worst thing. The Chofetz Chaim, however, comes along with a new insight and he gives a totally different reason. We know the stronger a weapon you use, the more effect it has. Says the Chofetz Chaim, all the mitzvahs that we do, if you think about it, they are always, just about always, we use some physical object and we use it for a mitzvah. For example, Arbaminim. You take a lila, an esrog, hadas and varuvas. These are all physical objects, plants, and we use it for a mitzvah. A shofar is the horn of a ram. It's a physical object. Matzah that we eat, it's a physical object. All the mitzvahs are used doing physical objects. However, says the Chofetz Chaim, Talmud Torah and Loshon Hara, we use our mouths. We use the Koyach HaDibur. Koyach HaDibur is not a physical entity. Koyach HaDibur is something which is totally a Koyach Ruchni. It's a spiritual Koyach. Therefore, when it comes to a mitzvah which is done through dibur, and according to the Chofetz Chaim's words, it won't only be Torah, the Chofetz Tefillah as well. And when it comes to an aveira which is done through the koyach hadibur, i.e. Loshon Hara, the power of that mitzvah and that aveira is much greater. Therefore we understand Le'olam al yiftach odam piv le'sutan. Because words, unlike what the Goyim think, Goyim always say, words are just empty, empty words, it's meaningless. Politicians, they promise everything, and afterwards they don't keep a word they say. Why? Because they think empty words, as long as you haven't signed on the dotted line a contract, you're not obligated to keep anything. We know we've got a chiyuv to keep every single word that you say. Lo yachal devuroi kachol hayoytze mipiv yase. Words have a koyach, words have a power. Al derech zeh, we find the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Ksibos that Yehida, the son of Reb Chiya, was a very, very great masmid. He would only come home once a week for Shabbos. The whole week he stayed in the Beis Medrash. He only came home Friday afternoon. Tells us the Gemara story. One Friday afternoon, this Yehida was learning so hard, he didn't even realize the time. It was almost Shabbos, and he hadn't yet come home. Said Rabbi Yanai, it must be that Yehida has been nifter. Because if he would be alive, he would come home. How can he not come home for Shabbos? At least for Shabbos to come home. It must be, said Rabbi Yanai, that Yehida had been nifter. Really, he hadn't been nifter. He just hadn't realized the time. Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Yanai said these words, again, al tiftach per lesotan. Because he said, it must be, Yehida must have been nifter. Otherwise, how come he hasn't come home? This caused that Yehida Taka was nifter. He was suddenly nifter. Because Rabbi Yanai said, he must have been nifter. Asks Rabbi Chonon Wasserman in his Sefer Koivet She'irim, how does this work? Why? Because Rabbi Yanai said, it must be that Yehida was nifter. Otherwise, he would have come home. This caused him to be nifter. Rabbi Yanai didn't want him to be nifter. We know that when a tzaddik gives a brocha, it becomes fulfilled because Ritzoin Yireyov Yaseh. The Rebbe Hashem does the wish of those who fear him. But But here, this wasn't the wish of Rabbi Yannai. Rabbi Yannai didn't want that Yehida should be Nifta. So why was he Nifta? Just because he said? Zuk Rabbi Chonan Vasserman, from this Gemara, we learn out the same Yesod, like I just said. That Dibba has in it a Moiridika powerful koyach. Says Rabbi Chonan Vasserman, Dibba is like an axe. You chop down a tree with an axe, the axe has got a koyach. Similarly, a person says something, it's not just mere empty words. Words have in them a moiridika koyach. And this is what we learn now. And this is why, because Yisro said, Novoil tiboil, you're going to collapse. Once he said you're going to collapse, so Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't continue. This is what we learn out from the Parsha, the Koyach of Dibba. I want to share with you another vod. This is one of my favorite Divrei Torah, favorite masters. Perhaps I've said it already, I don't remember. And it's not just merely a Dvar Torah, but it's a lesson for life. The Rebbe of Rizhin once came into his Beis HaMedrash. The Rizhin came into his Beis HaMedrash. And he saw a group of Hasidim sitting around the table, drinking together L'chaim. And the Rizhin became upset. And he told them off. And he said to them, why are you wasting your time just sitting here drinking Bromfen? One of the elder Hasidim stood up and very respectfully said to the Rishna, do I have the permission to ask the Rebbe a question? She said, yes. Feel free, what would you like to ask? Said this Yid back to the Rebbe as follows, I don't understand, why is the Rebbe criticizing us for something which we have heard on many occasions, that the Rebbe himself said, as Yidin kimmen sich zusammen, Yidin come together, im trinkt zusammen alachayim, am erwünscht und einem der Zweite, me gibt him a bruche, and you give him a bruche, and you give him... That's a form of avodas Hashem. So why are we now being told off for doing the very thing which he has told us is a gittazach? And the Rishna said back to him, to them, a moiridika yisod. And he said as follows, we find in the Torah one word which in one place denotes the lowest form, the greatest type of Aveira possible. And another place, the very same word is used to denote the highest Dova Shebikdish. In this week's Parsha, we know in Aser Sadibras, we are told, Loisasa Lecho Fesel. Do not make for yourself an engraven image. Fesel means an avoider zora. In Parshas Kisisa, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to make a second set of lichos, the Rebbein Shalom said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Pasol lecho shnei lichos avunim karishonim." Please engrave a second set of lichos. So in this week's Parsha, the word fesel refers to an avodah zarah. Said the Rishna, how can it be that this word, fesel, which denotes an avodah zarah, and the lichos were broken because of the aveir of avodah zarah, of egel azov, now when the Rebbeinu Shlom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to make a new set of lichos, Moshe Rabbeinu can't find a different word but to use this very same word, fesel, like pesol lechosh neilichos savunim, choyrish, it's not a geshmak of what to be used. Or the Rishna gezugt, it all depends where you put the lecho. He said, if Yidin come together and they're not interested in their fellow friends, they just want to have a nice time themselves, drinking Bromfen or wherever it should be. So whilst they're drinking, oh, they suddenly remember, oh, l'chaim, l'chaim. But that wasn't the kavuna. The kavuna was the lecho. You're only concerned about yourself. You put yourself first. You put yourself first. Loisasa lecho fesel. That's like a fesel. If, however, your kavuna is you want to give, your friend the brucher. You're concerned about him. You want to show him that you're thinking about him. You care for him. So in order to give him a brucher, you drink a lechayim. But you're not... The main kavuna is not yourself. The main kavuna is somebody else. The lechur comes afterwards. Pesol lechur, that is like an adubah shebegdisha. Pesol lechur shnei lichas avunim kareshoinim. You can have two people doing the very same action. One does it with the right kavuna, with the right motives. That's a mitzvah, adubah shebegdisha. And about that is written, Psal Lecho, Shnei Licha Savun Nikarishoinim. You have somebody else does the very same action, but he's missing the correct kavunas. He's doing it just for his own self-gratification, his own enjoyment. The Lecho comes first. If the Lecho comes first, is Demos Loisasa Lecho Vessel. And Ba'emus, we find this is a Beferisha Gemora. The Gemara tells us about the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. You can have two people sitting and eating the Korban Pesach. One of them is doing a mitzvah, and one of them is doing an Aveira. Says the Gemara, how can it be? Two people eating a Korban, that's a mitzvah. How can it be that two people doing the same action, and one's a mitzvah, and one's an Aveira? Says the Gemara, like I said, all depends on the kavuna. The person who knows he's eating a korban pesach and is eating it l'shem mitzvah, he's mekayim a mitzvah. And the other one, says the Gemara, who he's already full, and he's so full that he can't eat, but he's just stuffing himself. So therefore, he's not mekayim the mitzvah of achil, because achil korban pesach be'al asoiva, but what? Not when you're over full. So he is ruining the Korban Pesach, and he's not mekayim a mitzvah, and he's doing an aveira. And says the Gemara about these two people, we can apply a pasuk: tzadikim yelchi bom, ipoishim yikoshli bom. You can have tzadikim yelchi bom in this action, ipoishim, and the sinners will trip up in the very same action that tzaddikim are doing. Tzaddikim are doing a mitzvah, and the poshim are doing an aveira. So this is again the same yisod, two people doing the same action. It all depends on the correct kavona, the correct motives. We know when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, they weren't yet worthy of being mekabel the Torah. They had to wait 7 weeks. We know we count the spheres to Oymen, Sheva Shabbos, Ois Timim, Ois Tiyena. The Yidden had to get themselves ready to be Mekabel the Torah. They weren't on the right Madrega. Now we look in the Seres Hadribus, what's written. Some people will be a bit surprised to see in the Seres Hadribus is written, Loi Signoiv. You can't steal. It's written, Loi sidzach, you can't murder. Loi sinof, you can't commit adultery. Loi sana bereacho eitchov, you can't be a false witness to come along and wrongly give false testimony against somebody else. Now, you might think to yourself, are these things such high and lofty madregas that the Yidden were not able to be mekabel these mitzvahs straight when they came out of Mitzrayim? They had to work on themselves 7 weeks to be roy to get the Torah. I don't think, Baruch Hashem, I've murdered anybody, and I'm sure none of you have murdered anybody. And similarly, all the other things, is it something so lofty and so high that this is Torah? If you were someone to ask you, let's say a goy in the street were to stop you and ask you, so could you explain to me what Judaism is all about? And you say, I'll tell you, you're not allowed to kill somebody, you can't steal something, you can't commit adultery, you can't go to court and give false witness. This goy would turn around to you and say, that's Judaism? I do that as well. You know, well, officially they do. But they do not advise of this. That's Judaism, that's Torah, that's the Am HaNivcha, that's Aleph base, that's the basics. I thought Judaism, Yiddishkeit, Shmira Shabbos, not to speak Lashon Hara, Kashrus, Shatnas, many Madregas. But that's the Aleph base. And what does it mean? They couldn't be Makabal of Torah yet, they weren't worthy? This is the Aleph base. So we all know, B'shas Kabulas HaTorah, the Rebbein Shem lifted up HaSinai over the Eden, Kegigis, like a overturned barrel, and he said, Im Atem Mekablim HaTorah Mitav. If Klausel accepts the Torah, is good. V'im Lav, and if not, Shom Tehei Kiviraschem. There will be your burial place. Ask the Mephoshim Akasha, L'chora, the words Shom Tehei Kiviraschem is not the correct words. Shom, over there, will be your burial place. It should say, Poi Tehei Kiviraschem. If you accept the Torah, it's good. And if not, Poi Tehei Kiviraschem. I'm going to put the mount on top of you, and you're going to be buried here, underneath this mountain here. Shom, over there? Where's the over there referring to? Which place are we referring to? When Rabbi Chana Wasserman was in Berlin, many years before the Second World War, he gave a very, very sharp drusha. And at the time, many of the Yidden in Berlin were rather upset with him. They thought he was way over the top. He was being very, very canoistic, and they didn't like what he said. And he said as follows. We know when Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, so he said that surah is Imrino Achoisia. Please say that you are my sister. And when they found out, they took away surah and all the rest of it. And afterwards, when Avraham Avinu was asked, why weren't you straight with us? Why weren't you honest with us and say that Sora is your wife? Answered Avraham Avinu, Vayoyim Avraham, Ki amati rak en yis Hashem b'mukim hazeh, v'hargini al dva ishti. I saw that here in Mitzrayim, you're not straight Elecha people. So I was worried, V'hargini al dva ishti. You might still end up murdering me in order to take away Sora. Said Rabbi Chana Wasserman, from here we see, when there's no Yiras Hashem b'mukim hazeh, the people, the locals, are liable to commit murder to get and do whatever they want. Im ein Yiras b'mukim hazeh, v'hargini al dva ishti. Said Rabbi Chana Wasserman, you can have here, and Germany at the time was considered the epitome of civilization, the most correct, the most honorable, the most civilized, upright, respectful people that you could find before the war was Germany. They were so well mannered. Everything was bitter schön and danke schön. You would never hear a German say any type of crude, rude, anti-Semitic joke. They didn't do those type of things. Yeah, in Poland you could hear that, but not in Germany. Germany was best for a mention. Said Rabbi Chunam, in Eim Yis Hashem B'mukim Hazeh V'Hargini Al Dva Ishti, and they can still end up murdering me. At the time, the people, the local Yidden, were very upset. Why is Rabbi Chunam Wasserman coming along with such sharp words? The Goyim are such nice, civilized people. He's obviously got a bit confused from Betcombe and Litton, Branovich, where the locals were the ruffians, the local Lithuanian thugs. But here in Germany, everybody's so polite and Yidden on the highest positions of society. Bubba Masters. Unfortunately, as we know, it only went by a short few, 10, 15 years, whatever it was. And they all saw, unfortunately, how correct Rabbi Chunam Wasserman was. And this is what the Emes Chazal is telling us. If you Except the Torah is good. Ve'imlav shom tehe kiviraschem. If a Yid hasn't got Torah, you'll find Yidin who are not from, and they will tell you, it's true, I don't keep the Torah, but I'm still a good person at heart. I'm still a very honest and respectful and good, kind-hearted person. Yes, he might be today as he is, but without Torah, you never, never know what this person is capable of doing and might end up doing. My aunt told me herself, she went to a Goyish school in Vienna before the Second World War. There were no Yiddish schools. She went to a Goyish school, and she said there was one of the teachers there, I don't know, the geography teacher, the math teacher, whichever teacher it was, such a nice, kind man. You couldn't find a nicer person than him. Such a gentleman. She said there were some teachers who you could see were a bit anti-Semitic. They would make a comment here, a comment there, but not this man. This man went out of his way to be nice. After the war was over, my aunt told me she heard, somebody told her that this teacher of hers had been hanged after the Second World War because he was one of the worst Nazi murderers in one of the concentration camps. And my aunt told me when she heard it, she said, it's impossible. Impossible. I knew this man very well. I sat in his lessons for years. You get to know somebody very well when you sit hearing him day after day, week after week, year after year. I knew this man very well. Such a polite, correct gentleman. Impossible. She told me, started making inquiries, and she heard, yes, it was true. And she said, she cannot understand it. She knew this man so well before the war. She could not understand what came over him. How could he descend into turning into this sadistic, murderous monster which he became? The answer is, Duzug Rebbe Chonon Vassman, in Enyes Hashem Bamukim Azeh Vahargini Al Deva Ishti. Zug and Chazal, don't think that if you haven't become the Torah, therefore you'll still be a nice, good, correct, upright person. No. You know why you need the Torah? To fulfill the mitzvah of Lo Signov, of Lo Sitzach, of Lo Sinov, of Lo Sana Breachol Echoke. If you haven't got the Torah, you're liable to end up murdering somebody. And unfortunately, we see it every single day in this country, and many countries across the globe. Just last week, somebody phoned me to tell me about their father hadn't been well and been admitted into a hospital. He's not even 80 years old. Baruch Hashem, he was fine. He's an older, weaker person, but basically he's fine. He was admitted last week with a small heart attack. He was admitted to a hospital. His heart stopped. They had to resuscitate him. Baruch Hashem, he's going to be okay. They went to the hospital there, and they came in and they saw was written on the notes of their father in big letters DNR, which for your information this means do not resuscitate. In other words, if this man has again a heart attack while he's here in the hospital, don't do anything, just let him die. Now, they went and they said, what's going on here? They went to the doctor, what's going on here? Yes, he's already an old man. He's not going to live anymore. So we resuscitate him. Tomorrow they have another heart attack. Resuscitate him again. It's a waste of time. Therefore, that's what they decided. They there and then took him out of that hospital and transferred him to another hospital where they've agreed to treat him. Baruch Hashem, he's doing well. And slowly but surely, he's coming back to his koichos. But here we got somebody who was basically a healthy person, not an old man of 95, he's not even 80 years old. He's taken to hospital straight away on their own accord. One doctor comes along and says, we're not going to resuscitate this man if he has another heart attack. We're going to let him die. Where does this come from? This comes from people who have no Torah. Because they have no Torah, therefore they are committing murder on a daily basis. No problem whatsoever. So tells us Chazal, Im atem makablim ha-Torah mitav. If you accept the Torah, would be good. Vim lav, and if not, shom tahei kiviraschem. What does it mean to shom? It should say poi. The answer is shom. Wherever you're going to go in life, when you're going to be faced with a nesoyin, whether it's a nesoyin of loisignoiv, or whether it's a nesoyin of loisirtoch, or whether it's a nesoyin of loisina, or whether it's a nesoyin of loisana brech loishoke, every time you have a nesoyin, and you haven't got the Torah to guide you, to show you which way to go, shom tehei kiviraschem. Unfortunately, you're going to slip up, and that's going to be the end of you. This is what David HaMelech meant when he says in Tehillim, Kapitel Kif Yitez, Lilei toirozcho sha'ashiyoi oz ovadati ba'oni. If not for the Torah, which is my delight, I would have got lost due to my poverty. David HaMelech doesn't mean physical, financial poverty. What it means, if a person hasn't got the Torah to be his guiding light, to show him how to act, how to behave in every situation, I would have got lost, but only straight away, each time I wouldn't have known what to do, the correct way to go. With this, we also understand a famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Rav Yosef, when he used to come the Yontav of Shviyas, he would make a whole banquet, and he would say as follows, Ilav ha-yoyma, if not for this day of Kabbalah Zotoyra, Kama Yosef ikka b'shika, how many Yosefs are there just hanging around in the marketplace? And I would look like all of them. But because I've got the Torah, so I've become what I've become. That's the push-up shot in the Gemara. But Lachoyra, it's interesting. Why did Yosef say, Rav Yosef say these words? If not for this day, Kama Yosef ik b'shika. How many Yosef are hanging around the market? I would be like one of them. He should have said, if not for this day, I would have been in the marketplace. He didn't say that. He said, if not for this day, how many Yosef in the marketplace? But Rav Yosef meant to say was this Yisod. Rav Yosef knew his derech, which he was going on. The derech ha-toira. In every situation, he knew how to act, how to behave. Every nisoyin, he knew how to overcome. Why? Because he had the Torah. Said Rav Yosef, Ilav ha-yoyma, if not for this day of Kabul Satoira, Kama Yosef b'shika, I myself would be 10 different people. One time I'd behave in this way, one time I'd behave in that way. I myself would be wishy-washy, not knowing if I'm coming or I'm going. Who is the true me? What is my real essence? I wouldn't have any real essence, but I'd be just like something which is blown around in the wind at will, every time falling prey to each and every nisoyan. Kama Yosef ikka b'shika. But when we have the Torah, tells us the mission of us, afili kol riches sheba oilam, boys venoishes boy, even all the winds and storms which will blow, ein mezizin oisoy mimekoimoy, says the mission of the second period. All the winds in the world cannot blow somebody away who has the Torah. And this is taka the madreg of Torah, that Torah, this is kiheim chayeni, v'oirech yomeini, omen ken yiru.